Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Limit Breakdown, where we break down the latest in TV, movies, and everything going on in entertainment. I'm your host, Migs.
I'm Sid.
And today we're going to be doing our deep dive into the newest Fast and the Furious movie, Fast X. And our too long didn't watch take on this movie is Three Hearts.
Now, this movie had really great action sequences, and Jason Momoa's villain was stellar. And this movie knew what kind of movie it was and leaned into that fact quite a bit.
However, it seems like reality and physics don't really apply in this universe. Apparently, driving is the most valuable skill a person can have in this particular world. And it seems like Paul Walker's character absence, kind of just being explained off as a one-liner, was a little off-putting for me.
Yeah.
But those are our initial thoughts. Stay tuned after the intro for our deep dive into Fast X.
Welcome back, everybody, to our deep dive review of Fast X. So, Migs, what are your initial thoughts on this newest installment of Fast and Furious?
Well, you know, I tell you that for me, this movie is all about
family.
All about family. All about driving. All about Dominic Toretto being the James Bond of this universe. No, honestly, man, it's a little ridiculous that we're here with the 10th entry into this movie. It was supposed to be the last one. But apparently now this is the first part of a three-part finale.
Is it a three-part finale? I thought it was a two-part. Okay.
That's what they're saying. It's the three-part finale. Well, I mean, they left it on one heck of a cliffhanger.
Yeah, literally.
But, I knew what this movie was going into it.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I wasn't expecting Shakespearean levels of drama and intrigue. Although Jason Momoa's turn as the main antagonist in this movie was over the top in all of the best ways.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed him. Like, he was really good as an actor. His persona and everything about him was on point. And as you had mentioned earlier, he's like, "I'm Dante."
Ashante.
I was like, oh my god. It was so well done. And I think out of the entire movie, him being on screen was like one of my favorite parts.
I think it was almost like Jason Momoa was like, okay, so what can I do with this? And they were just kind of like, I don't know, just be really evil. And he's like, I'm gonna do like the craziest thing that I can think of right
Most
now.
Of the other villains are like hardcore, tough.
You know, they're like gangsters.
One of my favorite parts was when he's painting his toe, when he's painting his nails, and there's two dead dudes right underneath him.
Yes.
And I'm like, you realize that he's twisted and morbid, but he himself is very like flamboyant and like crazy. And I'm like, I think that to me was, it's almost like Joker level.
Yeah,
it was almost like Joker level, and I really enjoyed that.
It was very comic book villain.
Yeah,
villain type, like you said, Joker, Riddler, like that kind of just insane over the topness. And like I said, and he was funny.
Yeah,
like, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but it was just like you were saying, the introduction, Dante, enchanté. Like, that was my favorite ever introduction.
Yeah. Beyond that, the movie was a straight up classic Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, they have the formula pretty down packed. You know, one of the criticisms I've heard is that, you know, this movie kind of recycles itself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of went into, like, the greatest hits, basically. And, you know, I've always been a big believer that number five was kind of where the series peaked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that, you know, the events of the fifth movie are heavily, heavily used as the influence for everything that's going on over here. So
yeah, definitely. So having said that, you know, definitely there's, they're trying to pull as much plot as they can with these movies, and you know, the last few movies, the plot was there, but it was kind of like, why?
It's almost like, it's like a weird mix of like Days of Our Lives and James Bond sprinkled with a little bit of Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the fact that they actually went back to Rio and had a couple of drag scene races was almost refreshing.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they
had. But then, of course, they had to introduce the sister of Dom's baby mama that died in the first one, and then it's very very soap opera-ish.
Yeah, I do like the fact that again, going back to Jason Momoa, that they kept saying he's like, well, you can't. Dom's always winning every time.
Yeah,
and he's like, you might be a good driver, great, but Jason Momoa's character does not play by the rules. So even when they had the drag race, he had the bombs. And he's like, you might win me in a race, but technically I won. And I'm like, ooh, that's dirty.
It's kind of like one of those things. It's like, you know, when somebody yells out, oh, you never beat me in a fair fight. And it's like, well, that's not much of an incentive to fight fair.
Yeah, good point. Speaking of Dom Toretto, he has, as we have seen throughout the movie, he has now superpowers.
Super strength, apparently.
Yep, he's straight up lifted that car with one hand. And had it go. I'm like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
His car also has superpowers. It can stick to anything.
Defies gravity.
Defies gravity, especially the very last scene. Obviously, super spoiler.
Well, if you didn't know, right, when you get enough momentum on the rear wheels on one of those old school Chevys, like, you can actually pull a hell. No, you can't do any of that. Like, what?
Going down the dam at the last scene, I was like, oh my god, that's another scene that I found really ridiculous was when they're on the highway and the two helicopters last himself to the car, and he just puts it in gear, and the helicopter spins.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. But then again, like, we're also talking about the same series that launched an El Camino into space, that they fought a submarine with race cars. So, like, okay, I don't know. Like,
it's kind of refreshing. I'm not gonna lie.
As far as realism, like, I think looking for realism in this movie was our mistake.
It's kind of a refresh, like, even in the opening scene when they're in the Vatican and defending the giant bomb that's rolling.
Oh, yeah, that whole sequence.
Oh, man. It was kind of refreshing that they can do all this with their cars, and it kind of gives you dreams, like, oh, man, I wish I could do this with my car. Just don't go drifting in an SUV.
Yeah, or, you know, break any of the myriad of millions of felonies that they committed.
Yeah, fair. I do want to talk a little bit about Paul Walker's character, Brian, in the movie. So obviously, Paul Walker, rest his soul, died many years ago. And throughout the series, they wrote him off saying, you know, he wants to get out of this life. And he has gone his own way to take care of his family.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And I'm glad that they did that, because that movie itself was very emotional because of that. Ending in this movie, obviously, he's still in the universe.
Yeah.
And I felt like they could have added a little bit more. And all they did was a quick one-liner that if you were getting popcorn, you missed it. And they're like, he's like, what about the rest of your crew or your family? Mm-hmm. He's like, Brian's safe. And they just kept going.
This is one of those situations in which I don't feel like it would have been egregious to recast him. Mm. Like, just because his character was a vital part of the first five movies in the franchise. And granted, you know, they've been able to get away with not having to utilize him for the last couple of films. But at the same time, like, I think last film it was noticeable, but this one almost egregiously so, that they've written themselves into a corner with the way that they addressed his character. Because, you know, even, like, for instance, Dante was able to locate every member of his crew, but somehow they couldn't find you know, Paul Walker and his family. Is like, okay, well, why don't we all go where he is?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it just for me was kind of a huge plot hole. And I know so yeah, they Yeah, so for Paul Walker, they had used his brother for like partial facial CGI and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but I just think that where they've written themselves, narratively speaking, mm-hmm. I think at this point you're continuing the story. So, you know, either write the character off, I mean, kill the character off, mm-hmm. or recast him.
Yeah, and I think even like I'm okay with even them keeping the character but giving a little bit more explanation, mm-hmm. instead of just being like, oh, he's safe. Like, oh, well, he was able to do this, this happened. Give a little bit more narrative as to yeah. what that character's doing instead of just one-lining it off.
Yeah.
So, switching gears a little bit, random thing, post-credit scene, super spoiler.
Okay.
Giselle's alive. Gal Gadot's character.
So, that's a good segue into... something that we probably should have put as a major complaint was the fact that like nobody seems to stay dead.
Yeah.
This is now I think three characters or four, yeah. that have come back, because Han was killed off and mm-hmm. came back. Letty was killed off and came back. Now Giselle, who was killed off and came back, and John Cena seemingly sacrificed himself in this movie. So like nobody stays dead. I think the only one that stayed was the one that was actually supposed to survive. The one in the first movie.
Oh, the
really smart kid. Yeah.
So yeah, I found that kind of weird. I was a little upset because I like her character in the movie, and yeah. I liked the sacrifice. Like when she died, I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
But then the fact that she's back, like I'm glad because I do like Gal Gadot, but as a narrative, makes no sense. Makes absolutely no sense. Like, why? Why bring her back? And she just ran. She comes back in the submarine. Oh my god! This movie's so ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, again, like we know what these movies are at this point. We know what the expectation was. So, but yeah, just the nobody staying dead. Nobody's doing all of this. Jason Statham was in here for a couple of minutes to load up some guns and
classic.
And I understand that Ludacris and I'm forgetting his name. His character's name is Roman Pierce. Yeah. But all of you know that they're typically like the comic relief of it. But like they felt like almost sideshowish.
Yeah, I was a little upset. Like they didn't have like their storyline. I didn't care for in the whole movie like at all. Yeah. I was just like, and it was. It was kind of weird. And then the whole time, their little... I understand that they had a little back and forth with each other. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like, whatever. Which is fine. I'm cool with the quarrel. But, like... And at the end of it, they had a little bro moment. And I'm like... It was, like, too dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't feel like it's, like, actual tension. They just straight up, you know, didn't like each other. And they're like, no, man, you're a good leader, whatever. And I'm like... I don't know. That subplot didn't stick with me at all. Like, I did not care for it. The only part of that subplot that I even liked is when they went to that random internet cafe and...
what's his name?
Pete Davidson was there. And he's like, oh man, those are special muffins or whatever.
Listen, I don't know what it is about Pete Davidson. I hate him.
Really?
He has a very punchable face.
He does have a very punchable face.
He just gives me like... giant douchebag energy.
Yeah, I can see that. Apparently, he's actually a super nice guy.
I'm sure.
But yeah, he definitely is. And he's like very popular nowadays. Getting the limelight. But that was very funny that he was in the movie as a tech seller. And he sold him out. But that scene itself, I liked. That whole fight scene was pretty funny. Beyond that, the movie was...
I mean, the movie was what we expected it to be.
Yeah.
It was.
Now, there is going to be officially a part two and a part three because it did leave at a cliffhanger with the agent turning out to be on the side of Jason Momoa's character.
Oh, Dante. Yeah.
And he seemingly shot down. I mean, he did shoot down their plane, Roman and Ludacris' character's plane. Obviously,
but nobody dies, so, like, you know, they're not dead. You know, I mean, there's no guarantee John Cena's dead.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, Dom going down a dam, surviving, and he's like, you didn't take away my cars. And I'm like, fair enough. So that's all you need. And then the giant explosion with, I can't get Dom Toretto face out of my mind, because the last scene you see him is the explosion on the dam. I swear to God, I'm almost trying to redo it, right? He looks at his son and he goes... And it's the dumbest face I've ever seen in my life. And then that's where it ends, at the cliffhanger. And it's just... His face was just like I think it's supposed to be of terror, like, oh my God, my son's here. I don't want him to die from this explosion and water rushing, which is going to crush you. But he was like, I can handle this.
Bring
and
it I'm on. Like, bring it
what
on.
What the hell, dude? man.
All right. So that brings us, I guess, to what are your final thoughts on this movie?
Final thoughts on this movie for me are, it's a classic Fast and Furious movie. Like we mentioned earlier, over-the-top action, ridiculous car scenes, Dom Toretto having super strength. I still enjoyed it. Specifically, like I said, Jason Momoa's performance was really good. I think they're trying to pull a Marvel Infinity War / Endgame type scenario and drag out the last movie as much as possible and try to mint that money. But it was enjoyable. I genuinely enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the budget was specifically for this movie, but I mean, they definitely made some money. I think it was somewhere in the like $400 million worldwide. Last time I checked, I mean, it's making money. I mean, but they all of the Fast and the Furious movies made money.
And at the end of the day, in all honesty, they make more movies because
they keep making money.
That's the only reason to make these movies.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I agree with you. It was definitely entertaining. I've enjoyed, out of the last three films, this one has definitely been the best one out of the last three. And I mean, they definitely, for those of us that have been longtime fans of the series, like, they had a lot of callbacks, a lot of you know, little Easter eggs and things to kind of, you know, I guess, for lack of a better words, reward you for having stuck with it this long. So yeah, it was definitely entertaining, which was what these movies are supposed to be in the first place. They're entertaining. So.
Tyrese Gibson,
that was his name. Anyways, Roman Pierce.
Yeah. But anyways, that's my final opinions.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you guys for sticking around and checking it out with us. These were our thoughts. Let us know if you agree, disagree, what you think in the comments. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. It helps us out on the algorithm to have more interactions. And keep on the lookout for more content. We appreciate you.
Okay.
If you like our videos, leave a comment, hit the bell, subscribe, and press the like button.
That's awesome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. I hope your dates are awesome.